Hey, what's going on, friends? My podcast every day is broken up into two parts on the free platform. The first part, Act 1, is right now. When it's all done, go right on over to Act 2 to get the second half of the podcast. Thank you so much for checking out my show. Hello, friends, and welcome in to the Eric Zane Show podcast, a daily show where I discuss news, nonsense, and my personal adventures from right here in the Impact Power Sports Studio. Impact Power Sports online at impactpowersportsmi.com. That's where you go if you're looking for purchasing a Yamaha golf cart. And they are flying out of the showroom on a regular basis. They almost can't keep them in there. There are so many that they are selling thanks to you. And you can get them tricked out and designed in any way, shape, or form for your own golf cart pleasure, I guess. I don't know. Also, they have, of course, ATVs, UTVs, side-by-sides, e-bikes, motorcycles, you name it, go-karts, all at Impact Power Sports in Rockford, Michigan. Find them online at impactpowersportsmi.com. I don't know if anything is going to come of this, but it might. On Friday of last week, I sat here and at a little bit after 10 a.m. on Friday, and I get a text from Greg Henson, and he says, EZ, I just got let go in at LAV Cumulus. He was a morning guy, and he also had, managerial duties, supervisory, leadership role there. My position was eliminated. I'm like, okay, holy shit. I actually excused myself, ran the intermission, went out and chatted him up for a little bit. So that, like I said, that was on Friday. And all right. So that was it. So the staff that is there, the existing staff, is going to have to cover all the jobs that he had, including a morning show. And as far as I understand it, Travis and Michelle will continue to do that morning show, which they're fully capable of doing. So that was that. So I'm like, oh, man, I'm sorry. I've only known Greg since he came to town through Michelle, but we talk quite a bit. And so it's cool. That happens. And then 24 hours later, Saturday comes and goes. Sunday comes and goes. Monday at 10 a.m., we are now 72 hours into this news. On the 73rd hour, yesterday, 11 a.m., I am doing the staff meeting for the radio station. And then a big bit of news hits that meeting as the boss says, oh, by the way, the guy's name is JJ. Great dude. Helped me set up the studio. He's resigning. And that guy, JJ, has the same job that Greg Henson has. Now, I didn't think about it at the time because I'm dumb. I was kind of in awe. I mean, not in awe. I was blown away. I was like, what? Oh, my God. I did not see that coming. And so then I'm too dumb. I don't think that far ahead. And then the boss who I was just telling you about, her name is Cheryl, she reaches out to me. She goes, hey, so, we're on to the next thing. We're looking to fill that position. Do you know anyone? And right when I'm about to write, no, I am clueless. I don't have anybody. I went, well, of course I do. God damn it. So I go, yeah, I actually do. This is so cosmic. This is the epitome of one door closes, one door opens. Now, I don't know. That doesn't mean that anybody has a job. But what I went ahead and did is I reached out to her and I go, yeah, I explain what's up and where he's been, what he's capable of. and how he got into this spot. And then I reached out to him. I go, hey, buddy, you know, there's this cooking. So I then introduced these two. And they're sniffing butts as we speak. Like the butt sniffing process is happening right now. And I don't know if it's going to amount to anything. That is, that's just, I've done my work. Now, will they figure out, hey, yeah, you can do this or you can't do this? Or, yeah, you can and we're going to pay you this much. You agree, disagree? You know, one of those, just the negotiation part of it. So that's cool. I'm sure they will also open the job up to anybody through equal employment opportunity. But they've just begun their search with this gentleman right here. Scott writes, they just can him for no reason. Well, I know this. The company that Cumulus that let Greg go, I'm 100% sure they had their T's crossed and their I's dotted when they revealed this information. I remember when I got fired from there, it was as simple as, this was what I was told. They sit me down on January 4th, 2019, and, well, actually, I was at home because I got a phone call because I was at home sick. Yeah, we're changing the format of the radio station, and we don't have a spot for you, so unfortunately, we got to let you go. Okay, and that's that. I don't know. Radio, radio has these things happen all the time. It's this pseudo showbiz part of it that, you know, they can fire you for anything. At the end of the day, though, my opinion of radio, particularly in a market where, I don't know, like in Grand Rapids, it used to be that if you were a ratings juggernaut, you're not going to have a problem keeping that job. That is not necessarily the case these days in radio, because in a lot of cases, there's some struggles to get the dollar amount coming in from sales. And when that happens, I mean, the highest priced talent are the morning show. So that can happen, even though there's rating success. Used to never be able to happen. You had what's known as the juice. If you have the juice, you can do anything within reason. Okay. Unless you're like me and you think you can just make any crack about pants. And then if you make those cracks about pants, a lot of times that will push your show castmates into panic mode. And then they will stab you in the back repeatedly so that you won't ever make jokes about pants, which is exactly what happened. I spoke with Ben Glaze. We have a Thursday edition of Big Fraud Thursday. Well, we're doing Big Fraud Thursday is what I should say, with episode number 72 of Who Are These Free Beers? And I think 209, 210 of the Ben and Eric Patreon podcast. Still trying to recover from the M. Night Shyamalan plot twist from last Wednesday's Ben and Eric Patreon podcast. One of the best of all time. I can't stress enough, if you have not yet experienced that, you seriously have to watch that show. Not just listen to it, watch it from beginning to end. And just watch it all unfold. It's one of the greatest things ever. Seriously. That being said, I did hear from show contributor MAGA Pat. And one of the things that MAGA Pat sent along the last time he sent along some timestamps was the new supercut. He actually had more than one supercut. He had a, you know what? Let me pull these supercuts up. This is going to take me a second. So, as you know, one of the things that I've done while creating Who Are These Free Beers is focused on the verbal crutches and the tendencies that the show has. You know, it could be like laugh talking from free beer or from hot wings. It could be free beer murdering words. It could be Steve's echo effect. Things like that. But Pat gave us, let's see. One of the things he focused on was how Hot Wings has something that is worthy of a supercut. And here it is.
This sucks.
Mm-hmm. Quit your job right now.
Mm-hmm.
Go hang out with your kids.
Mm-hmm.
Ow.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It would seem that mm-hmm. way.
Okay, now that happened in about 90 seconds. That's where that took place. I mean, that's how much time passed of him doing that. Pat writes this on today's timestamps. The mm-hmm supercut keeps growing. On Thursday, and then he gave me all of these timestamps. In fact, you can see it for yourself in this glimpse of the email. These are all of the timestamps right in here. And Pat writes, yes, at least 11 times from 2 hours, 58 minutes, 22 seconds to 3 hours, 3 minutes, 59 seconds. 11 times in 5 minutes, roughly. He went, mm-hmm. 11 times. Wow. Aram says that has been his contribution to the show since I can remember. Tyler says, Hot Wings, quote, if I make noise, then I'm contributing. So when I see the suggestions, I'm like, all right, I'm going to read what he came up with. And I can see right away that this sounds like something I would use. The way Patrick MAGA Pat takes these notes, this is not Patrick in South Carolina. This is MAGA Pat, different dude. I don't know where he's out of. He wrote, parenting lessons with Steve, neighbor toy exchange and cutting sticks and more fun, all with no discernible point, complete with condescending, oh, noes from Free Beer and Hot Wings. MAGA Pat adds, when will this douchebag understand nobody cares about his kids? Thursday, Steve F's up because he sucks at his job and no show prep. Free beer covers for him and show comes to a complete halt. I can't wait to hear that. Wednesday, the crew talks about whether someone should lose their job over offensive remarks. The irony. Friday, more, Patrick writes, more man-hating banter from the show, assuming that male gynecologists are perverts and sexual predators. Another example of 50-plus Free Beer and Hot Wings simping out for younger females and projecting their views on all men. Now, that sounds like something MAGA Pat would say. Now, when I see them written like this, I'm like, yeah, that's something I want to hear. I don't always use them because I'm like, well, no, I don't think that that's right. But the way he writes it makes me laugh. Steve Echo Effect. Four examples. Steve, the headlight expert, complete with impressive and wows. Wednesday, Free Beer refers to laugh, think, cry. Then he says, I hate this as much as you, EZ. Yeah. Greg has, he gets on his, preachy high horse and will say, you know, Jim Valvano was right. We have to laugh and we have to think and we have to cry every day. Okay, if you're a human, and for sure a man, and you cry every day, there's something wrong with you. All right? If you're any man who sits there and cries when good things happen, there's something wrong with you. Like, if I was successful making the chili when I was visiting my dad, I'm not going to start crying. So the only time I want to cry might be as if, like, someone I know dies or my dog is dead. All right, those are cryable moments, you fuck. What a fucking asshole. Everybody loves Jim Valvano over that goddamn speech. Fuck that. That is a horrible speech. That's a terrible way to live. Laugh, think, cry. All right, I might laugh. I'm always thinking. But cry? Fuck you. Stupid dick. Ugh. Branjo says, laugh, think, punch free beer in the balls. Free beer will never can hot wings. Where else can you get that kind of contribution? He sucks. I will never forget. I mean, I will never understand how he's able to actually keep that job. Okay, how did I get on this? Can anybody help me out? That's how the ADHD is kind of coursing through. It is actually picking up pace as the morning goes on. Yeah, I was talking about Big Fraud Thursday. So there you go. We have that. I'm looking forward to that. Birch Barlow says, how do you punch free beer in the balls? They are in the nose's purse. Nick in Houston says, MAGA Pat sent you a clip. I don't know how you'd know that. I'm confused with you suggesting that. What are you talking about? Or are you MAGA Pat? And I just don't know it. All right. Alan says, I missed it. When are you doing Big Fraud this week, Thursday? When I said, what was I talking about? And then Nick wrote, MAGA Pat sent you a clip. I thought he was telling me that. He was like, no, dickhead, that's what you were talking about. God, I'm stupid. Embarrassing. Okay, so that is awesome. By the way, Nick writes, as he is in Houston and an air traffic controller, volunteer air traffic controller checking in from Houston. Okay, so you've had a week and a day, I believe, of work. And you're not getting paid for it. That's true. However, once they figure out the budget, they're going to go ahead and pay you what they owe you. You will be fine. Yesterday was quiz day for the class, for the broadcasting class. It's a 50-point quiz, and I wrote it all out, and then I walk into the classroom, and I send it along to the department head or my teaching partner. I cannot teach this class on my own because I do not have a master's degree, so I am what's called an adjunct professor of broadcasting, and I teach the class, but I have to have the teacher with me, the actual professor. But I wrote the test, the quiz, and yesterday is quiz day. And so Dr. Avery is passing out the material. And I notice one particular student is expressing anxiety in the person's face. And I did say, so as you know, which I told you about, the study guide, 4-page study guide, has everything that could be covered on this quiz. And I wrote things like, know the difference between blank and blank. Students should be aware of blank, blank, blank. Students should know these terms. Students should be able to identify these things. Students should be, you know, just be aware of that. It's not a ton of time. I'm guessing if you spent 20 minutes a day for 3-4 days or even crammed, you'd be able to do fairly well on this test. This is not too intense at all. But again, I've never done this in my life. So I wrote out the exam. Dr. Avery passes it out. She goes, Eric, do you have anything? I go, no, I'm nervous. And she goes, why are you nervous? I go, because I'm afraid. I don't know. I want everybody to do well, and I don't want anybody to hate me. She assured me the test was fine. Now, one guy got it done in probably 10 minutes. Like, first person was done. And then they all started to trickle in after that. And then they were done, and then we graded them. And I think they did pretty well. I don't want to get into the details about anything. I will say this. Two people had 100%. They crushed it. So I promised them I'd get them a gift certificate. There's a place up the road called the Drunken Monkey Smoke Shop. And I'd get them a gift certificate for a pack of smokes. And they laughed hysterically at that. Dr. Avery's just like, what are you doing? Oh, come on. It's cool. It's fine. They're all adults here. And then that was it. The podcasting, they're actually doing their podcast now. The first project is they each have to do 3 30-minute episodes with their teams. They've got the subject matter. They're recording. They're adding music to them. They're doing the studio time. The studio, I built the studio. I built the studio. It's awesome. Everything's great. It's better equipment than what I have here. And then there is a device that we just purchased for the class, because now they're going to do, this is just an audio podcast. They're going to be doing a video podcast as well. And there was a device that was purchased that it sits, like, if they're in a circle doing their show, four people, in the middle of that is this device that you can have a camera on. And the device uses AI to detect who's talking and where the direction of the voice is coming from. And so it'll rotate. So if I had more people in here, which I hope that never happens, the camera just rotates to whoever's talking. I'm like, that's cool. Jesus. Like I said, it's never been easier to do this line of work. It's only going to get easier from a technological standpoint. EZ, why don't you ever want to bring people onto your show? Can you imagine a show with less me? No. I get too much joy out of every word on the podcast being said coming from me. I don't want anybody getting in the way of my baby. I used to feel that way all the time in the Free Beer and Hot Wing show. My name not even on the sign, and yet I'm saying the lion's share of the words, because Opie / Free Beer is just basically saying, hey, this is a Free Beer and Hot Wing show, and then looks at me, and then I do the show, and then he goes, all right, that was good. Time, we got more coming up. And Hot Wings, you can just count on he's never going to say anything. Bread Bull Brain Chris is here. He says, I'm still waiting for the puppy cam. Yeah, true. I get that. But, I mean, it's not like they're not, like you can't see them. I mean, they're spread out all over the room. And you've got Bruce crashed out here. And if I move over, well, there's the princess looking at you. And O'Neill's at my feet. He wants to be as close to me as possible. As you know, that is my heart dog. By the way, interestingly, I got a call from Dr. Levin over the weekend. That's one of O'Neill's vets. He was Eric. Hello, friends. Your old pal Eric Zane with a word about ultra premium CBD gummies with real botanicals from my friends over at Secret Nature. This is like the best thing that's happened to me in a long time. I partnered with them. You can learn more at secretnature.com/Zane, and you'll also get a special deal there. But my gosh, during the daytime, I've got a daytime gummy that helps me stay focused, gives me steady lift. It's a fantastic, clean vibe within my system. Prior to Secret Nature, I found during the day that I was up and down, and I was like, what is happening to me? But ever since I started using the ultra premium CBD gummies with real botanicals from Secret Nature, those problems are in the past. And people say to me, EZ, when you're talking about this, what do you mean by a clean feeling? I'd say steady, balanced, not overpowering. I just get more done and feel better throughout the day. Probably because Secret Nature is organic, farm-grown, never lab-made. Ultra-premium CBD gummies with real botanicals. Nothing extra. The best in the business. Bliss is what I use during the day for clear focus and productive flow. I want to wind down? Snoozers. Unwind and rest at the end of the day. Consistent, measured CBD per gummy, so there's no guessing. Intentional formulations that feel clean and slot naturally into your routine. Now, this is where you try it. Get 30% off your first order at secretnature.com with code Zane. That's secretnature.com, code Zane. Try Bliss during the day, snoozers in the evening, and let me know how it goes. Again, 30% off your first order at secretnature.com with code Zane. secretnature.com, code Zane. Secret Nature. Hey, it's Eric Zane, and uncommongoods.com is a great place to shop for the holidays. I just picked up a Himalayan salt barbecue plank. It's a square, 8 inches by 8 inches, inch and a half thick, made of Himalayan salt. You put it on the grill and your veggies on top of the Himalayan salt barbecue plank. Oh my gosh, what a way to season the veggies with the Himalayan salt barbecue plank. Just one of the thousands of items for sale for everyone at uncommongoods.com. I love that when you're shopping for Christmas gifts at uncommongoods.com, you've got stuff for readers, for nerds, for travelers, for foodies, sports fans, for music lovers. Everything under the sun can be found at uncommongoods.com. The kids are like, Dad, what do you want for Christmas? And I go, well, just go to uncommongoods.com and find something that you know I'll like. And you can do the same thing. And I've got a special deal for you. Make this holiday the year you give something truly unforgettable. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/Zane. That's uncommongoods.com/Zane. You'll get 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
I did some blood work on O'Neill, and there is a concern about low thyroid activity. I'm like, oh my God. And he goes, it's not a big deal. We can take care of it. He goes, I need to do two more tests. I go, okay, what is it? What's up? He goes, well, okay, I just got to let you know that it's another $258 from the $750. I go, yeah, of course. Yeah, why not? Yeah, it's cool. But I was kind of freaked out about that. And then he also said, and the albumin is low. I go, what is that? He goes, it's protein. If the albumin is low, we need to find out if we need that confirmed. So we need a urine sample. And if protein is coming out of in his urine, that means it's leaking out of the where that originates from. I guess kidneys, maybe. I don't know. And if that's the case, we got to take some steps there. We can't have that happen. So get me a urine sample, and I'll test that. I go, yeah, no problem. Yeah, add it to the bill. yesterday, he reached back out. He goes, false alarm. Thyroid's fine. Okay, cool. Anything else? Alan says, put a cam at dick level so we can see O'Neill. Don't tell me what to do. Becca Shea says, take all my money. Yeah, seriously, when it comes to my pets, it's, honest to God, it's like I'm just doing this for them at this point. I would rather not eat. If I had to choose between not eating or pet care. Pet care every time. I can always eat the pet at some point. Speaking of eating, this one came in. Eric, what is your campfire squash recipe? Okay. Let's picture you've got an acorn squash. You cut that thing in half. You scoop out the seeds. In the cavity, you're going to put a whole stick of butter. If you search online for seasonings and what you want to add to it, there are like 1 million things that will make it awesome. I was told, now all I did for mine was season it, salt and pepper. And it was good, but Charity Scam Mike said, next time we got to add the syrup. So this is essentially candy. You are taking something like a squash and turning it into a confection delight. I think it's like an hour, maybe two, in hot coals. You encase it in aluminum foil, and then you have fire, a lot of fire, all right? And then you, with your shovel, you open up an opening of the red hot coals, and then you put it down in there, and then you bury it as Bruce goes onto his back. So it's completely covered in hot coals. You may have to add more hot coals to it in case they cool down, but keep that thing going. Look online. I've only done this once. I don't remember. I want to say it's at least an hour to cook this thing. It's really tremendous. Alan says, step one to make a squash. Take it and throw it in the garbage. There you go. Bread Bowl Brain Chris says, I've done it with butter, brown sugar, and cinnamon. Forget the syrup. Go with that. That sounds better. In fact, the next time I get up there, I might even do that. Francis says, I listened to an old FBHW episode recently. You were talking about having like $90,000 in student loan debt. How's that going? It's going great. That left probably, okay, you got to understand. I say this not to brag, but just for a point of reference. At that time, I was making a tremendous amount of money. Tremendous amount of money. Like, you, what? Huh? It was that. That's why, hey, you'd have an anxiety attack too if you got shit canned from a job that was paying you like a backup quarterback in the NFL. It was ridiculous. But I wasn't like aggressively paying it off. And I had I have a buddy who is a financial guru. And he says, I want you to start giving me all your money. And I'm going to make you some money. And I said, okay. His name is Tom. And he's a very close friend of mine. And he goes, and when that was all happening, it was revealed to him that I owed that much money. He goes, well, hold on a minute. You can't give me any of your money. I go, why? He goes, you got to pay that off, like now. So all this money you were going to give me, I want you to pay it off in full, quickly. So we used to get these absurd payouts two huge amounts of money. And I'd get them twice a year through my company, Danny Hunchback, which I was bought out of eventually. And so we would write ourselves these enormous fucking checks. And usually I'd spend it. But I quit doing that and just paid those off. It was absurd. Ugh. So in the course of like 9 months, that money vanished and I was gone. He goes, all right, now you're good. So right about the time that I was free of that, I started then like bulldozing every penny I made. I'd send this guy like $100 talent fee. I'd send it to him. So living off of like within our means, hadn't purchased any RVs or anything yet. And then every penny just giving it to him. So in short order, I was able to give him a lot of money. I said, all right, here you go. Have at it. That's how that worked. I remember you calling into one of those segments about how much student debt you had back in 04, 05. Nick wrote, yeah, you see, you called in with your student debt. That concerns me about Madison because for her continuing education, she says she wants student loans to do it. And I'm like, I don't know, man. Nick says $124,000. Wow. I'm sorry, buddy. Hopefully with some, it's been a lot of years. Hopefully you've gotten past that. The band Rush is getting back together. Now, not everybody is familiar with the band Rush or gives a shit about Rush. But I love these guys. Becca Shea says gross. Nick is here. He writes, what's a student loan? This company just paid me $200,000 over 4 years to learn my job. Rebecca does not like Geddy Lee's voice. I love Geddy Lee's voice. So the drummer in the band, it's a three-man band. Alex Lifeson is a guitar. Geddy Lee sings, plays bass, and does keyboards. And probably some other things. Synthesizer. And Neil Peart is the drummer and lyricist. He would write the lyrics to all of these very involved pieces of music. Now, this is not three chords in the truth, 3.5-minute songs. These are, the music was described as progressive. A lot of layers, a lot of different arrangements. These are not just hard-driving guitars. There's a lot to this band. They do there's a hell of a lot of racket and brain power goes into the band Rush. Well, the drummer, Peart, died like several years ago, and they had stopped touring ahead of that because his health was poor leading up to his passing. Well, they've decided to get back into it. And I don't know if I'm going to get through this whole video, but one of the questions about Neil Peart is answered because he is, okay, not only is he the drummer and the lyricist, he is arguably the greatest drummer in the history of rock music. And he even, his name is mentioned in all-time drummers. You know, there's might be some other drummers who have some specific skills that aren't in rock music. You think of a guy like Buddy Rich, jazz drummers, and he is of that level. That's how good Neil Peart was. It's kind of like Neil Peart and the rest of the world. And I'm not even a big Rush fan. I've watched him play. It's unbelievable what that guy did. Danny Carey from Tool has eclipsed Neil Peart. A lot of people have said that, and that is a debate. In fact, there was some talk about Danny Carey from Tool being the new drummer of Rush. His name came up. This is the discussion that was had. This is in Getty's studio somewhere in Canada.
Nah, that's a tight chord.
That was way better than the other 15 times we did this.
Yeah. And it's amazing how hard it is to play.
No, don't abort it.
One chord.
It is. I've discovered this in the last year.
What do you mean by that?
Well,
we're being coy. Listen, something I want to talk.
Look at that fucking studio. Look at that. This two walls of guitars.
Okay. Yeah.
You've been coming over to my house, and we've been coming down into the studio
right.
for years.
Years.
We wrote so many songs in here. Yeah. You slept on that couch.
Memories.
And after 2015, there was a very quiet and a sad period for us. And when I think back to us doing the tribute concerts for Taylor Hawkins, we went out on stage and played our songs first time in a long time. There was a special feeling attached to that. Bittersweet.
Yeah.
Because of obvious reasons. When we started jamming again down here, it was like a continuation of that moment. The more we played our old songs for fun, the more fun it became.
Yes, exactly.
And I was surprised because you were getting even more excited than I was.
Yeah, I love playing them. I just love playing our songs again.
And so that's put us in this terrible situation where we have to announce that we've made a decision to go back on tour.
Hi, we're going back on tour. So we'll see you soon. I think it's great.
Isn't it weird saying it out loud?
Yeah, it totally. You know, we're musicians and we're players, and our music is special. It really is special. When being away from it for a while and revisiting it, I realized how difficult it is to play, but how rich it is in its music and lyrics and everything that it represented.
It feels great to say out loud, finally, that we're going to go on tour and we're going to play a lot of these songs.
Yeah.
There had been talk of they will never tour because it's impossible to replace Neil Peart.
Cool things about how this is progressing, all the songs we're putting together, I don't know, 35 songs or so far for a set that's going to be, I don't know, ran a couple of hours, is the fact that we're going to cover a lot of things and change it up night to night. But we'll always have a part of the show that's a tribute to Neil and his memory of him and everything that he was to us. And it's going to be beautiful to be able to celebrate him every single night.
Yeah. But the biggest question is the obvious question is how do we replace someone who's irreplaceable? And I had heard from Scully, my bass tech, who had been on tour with Jeff Beck. And he had been working with this drummer named Annika Niles. And he mentioned that how impressive she was, how talented and, you know, musical she was and powerful. And I think you and I playing with her started to put a charge in us when we heard our song coming back to life. And it was only once we had those successful rehearsal sessions with her that made me feel like, yes, we can do this and we can do justice to this. And this is going to be fun.
Well, I felt exactly the same.
There's one other decision that is coming. I love the idea of being able to wander over to you, wander over to the drummer and just be a bass player. So I think we will find ourselves adding to the band, maybe a keyboard player. What do you think of an idea like
that? I think it's great. I think having a little time together at the front of the stage will be a lot of fun.
It'll be great. I think for songs like Tom Sawyer, et cetera, it's going to be important that I play those signature keyboard parts.
It will be very liberating for you, and we can start working on the dance routines that we wanted to do for so long.
I like these guys. Seems like they're having a good time. I've never really heard them speak at length. Like I said, I'm not sitting around listening to the Rush discography, but every time I've listened to the band, I was like, God damn, these motherfuckers are good. You know? Anakin? Did you say Anakin? Annika Niles, welcome to the big time. So this is Annika Niles. And because the first thing everybody's going to do is, okay, I want to hear her play, you know, Tom Sawyer or whatever. But there is nothing available online of her playing a Rush song. There is a lot of material of her playing songs. And I'm going to check out some of those. Annika Niles' performance videos stun Rush fans. This is written by AI, but I don't know if it stuns Rush fans, because honestly, what I see here is just looks like a wildly proficient drummer, but I don't know shit about drumming. These shots of her feet would be better if there were no shoes on. All right, I'm not going to sit here and listen to music of her playing drums. I want to hear and see Rush. But if she's good enough, she's cutie patootie too. If she's good enough for Alex Lifeson and Geddy Lee, well then that's all anybody needs to know. Honestly. So that's going to be awesome. It is a 12-night tour from June to September. These are old men. So that's what you do. Stops in the U.S. in Los Angeles, Fort Worth, Texas, Chicago, Illinois, New York. Let's see. In Canada, in Toronto, two nights, and one night in Cleveland to finish it out. There's also a stop in Mexico City, if I understand correctly. Nick says, Alex Lifeson has a great sense of humor. He guest starred on Trailer Park Boys a few times. Francis is a musician, as I understand correctly. Might have stalked you out on Facebook. I think I saw a picture of you holding like a mandolin or a sitar. Or something string related. Isn't that right? Love that they're going to have a girl drummer. Awesome. Black Belt Nick says, like when I got to see Nita Strauss first night with Alice Cooper, she was amazing. Got to meet Alice and then ran into her on the elevator. Very nice. Alice is salt of the earth. Nice guy. Bread Bowl Brain Chris says only 12 shows. That's going to be expensive. Oh, yeah. In fact, if you go to their website, you can sign up to be in the running to get tickets. It's going to be that difficult. Then, of course, you've got the always affordable secondary ticket market. So the way this will go is you all sign up. You know, John Q. Public hit, yeah, I want to get tickets to see Rush in my town. And then they go on sale. So you go, all right, it's time. Boy, this is going to be expensive. And you click on it, and it says sold out 0.3 seconds after they go on sale. That's what happened. Oh, shit. Well, it says click here to get tickets from Scam Hub. And then you click it, and it says, we've got front row tickets. And they're going to cost $17 million per ticket. And then those sell out. So then you go to the third market. And then at that point, you have to sacrifice your children. My God. Francis plays an Irish bouzouki. I've never seen that. I don't know what that is. Well, I mean, I know what it is because I saw it on your Facebook page. But I've never heard that term. Chris says Alex Lifeson's acceptance speech at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is the best. Nick was at the Black Belt Nick was at the Alice Cooper show with his dad. My dad told Alice he was his hero growing up, and Alice apologized jokingly. All right. So that is pretty cool. Nick the Electrician says, I had an idiot friend who bought tickets from Ticketmaster by mistake. $70 in fees. Isn't that unavoidable, though? Yeah, the only way for an artist to make any type of cash, any artist, is via a concert or T-shirt sales. I think I mentioned this to you the other day. I was at a baby shower for Travis from LAV, and Brian Vanderrock was there, and I think he said for like 11 million listens to the song The Freshman, which is the mega hit they had, the Verve Pipe, he got like $200. My God. You see that and you think, oh my God, this guy's rolling in the dough. What a crock of shit. You know, but I can't think of any other way to do it. I mean, if you think about it, you've got streaming services, music streaming services, like let's say Spotify. I pay, I don't even know now, $10, $12, $13 a month for that so that I don't have to get the ads. So Spotify, I think it's between the artists and Spotify. It should be, Spotify's making too much of that. It's almost like if every artist that was on Spotify could unionize and create a digital download union. So let's say there's 500,000 artists on Spotify. Spotify has no more content if all of those artists are on the same page. As it is right now, that's the only way artists are getting their music heard these days is through that. It used to be the radio, but now Spotify is a new radio. So this is not fair that they don't, you know what I mean? The artists should get more money from Spotify because they're making money not only on people like me who pay for the service. All right, that is Act One of the podcast. Act Two is available right after this one. Go check it out. What are you doing? Don't miss a second of it. Thank you so much.